Now, let's get this on track. State of Origin game number two. Had some fun yesterday. I've been hosting Brekkie the last couple of days, and we did a bit of a centre coaching conundrum for Freddie Fittler because he's got an embarrassment of riches, Webby, when it comes to game three, or does he?
Well, look, I think he has no choice but to retain Matt Burton. I don't even think it's a discussion, to be perfectly honest. I think, Bert, it's all about timing. It's all about sliding doors moments. Matt Burton was given his chance in Origin 2 and was among the best players on the field, if not the best player on the field, alongside Cleary and Tedesco and Coruscant and a whole stack of New South Wales players, to be perfectly honest. Jack Whiten didn't play because of COVID. I don't know where... Look, if you're going to fit either Wyden or Latrell Mitchell into the side, they have to be at left centre, and I don't think they deserve to be there ahead of Matt Burton, given what he did in game two. Why would you change a winning formula? Jack Whiten can only play on the left, really. Left foot, left-handed, holds the ball in his left hand, and a left-foot kicker. Latrell maybe could play on the right a little bit, but I still think he's more devastating at left centre and fullback, which he's not going to obviously be picked at because of Tedesco. He's underdone. And they're not as desperate as they were going into game two, when if he was available, I would have picked Latrell in a heartbeat. Matt Burton is just, he's in Queensland's head, as Andrew John said to me earlier today. And I just think that's a no-brainer for Brad Fittler, and I expect him to go that way when the team's named on Sunday.
So do you think that's the key when you look at... So let's take Latrell out of this conversation. When you look at Burton v. Whiten on that left-hand side, as you mentioned, Whiten can only play there. Do you think the key is that while he was outstanding in Game 1 and Burton was outstanding in Game 2, Burton's outstanding in a winning team and has the flexibility to be able to move around and has that boot as well. So is that sort of the argument leaning towards Matt Burton?
And why would you change
to Joey's point, he's in their head. Keep him in their head.
Exactly, but why would you change a winning team? They won by 32 points. Like, I wouldn't be tinkering with it too much. There's not really anything that should be changed, to be perfectly honest. Like, there's talk about, like, Stephen Crichton, his position maybe being in danger because Ponga got around him that set up that try for Munster. Again, I don't know if you think it with a winning side. I haven't spoken to Freddie at length about what he's thinking for game three, but I'd be surprised if there's any changes at all, unless they're forced by injury.
What about Queensland? Can you see any changes there?
Depends.
I mean,
again.
Dane Gagai.
Yeah, I heard him talking about this earlier on breakfast. It's a very, let's just see how strong the Queensland pick and stick ethos is. I think Dane Gagai deserves to stay there just on what he's done for Queensland in the past. It's a totally different game up there at Suncorp, a decider. That's why New South Wales have only won two deciders at Lang Park / Suncorp in the whole history of State of Origin football, because it's very, very hard to do. And if New South Wales think that they can just roll on from what happened in Perth into what's going to happen in Brisbane, then they'll probably get their bottoms spanked. And not in the way that you're probably thinking out there. I know where people's minds are going. I'd be surprised if they made wholesale changes. They might have to with Ponga. He's had two concussions in three matches. So it depends on how he responds to the layoff from Newcastle before the team's picked at the weekend, and also what's going on with Munster's shoulder, which is a pretty concerning sign. He won't be playing tomorrow night for the Storm against Manly, so they might have to make some changes.
Yeah, and they'd be big changes as well. What did you make of the officiating? So the 10 minutes in the sin bin, I was okay with that. In fact, just before Ashley Klein raised his hands, I was shouting at the telly, it's got to be 10 in the bin. And I think so was the entire New South Wales team along the way. The forward pass, I think, you know, I mean, really, that was forward. But there was much more space around the ruck in the 10 metres, especially at the start of the match. Did you see a noticeable change in game two?
No, all I saw was Ashley Klein actually sticking to the rules. And, like, I went back and looked at that 5 minutes just before half-time that led to the Kafusi sin bin. I wrote about it in the Herald yesterday. They are. So there was one ruck infringement with Harry Grant, which was probably 50-50. But the other two were off for offside, for blatant offside, which I thought Queensland were doing throughout the whole first half. They were racing up off their line like you wouldn't believe. They've got this thing where Cherry Evans on one side and Munster on the other come up early, and they put pressure on the outside backs come up early. And they were jumping off their line, off the try line, so early that it wasn't funny. So I reckon there was actually set restarts that Ashley Klein didn't pick up in that lead up to Kafusi being sin bin. As for the Kafusi incident, people, I don't understand what's going on. Go back and look at it. Like, I mean, he's leaning with his shins into Junior Paulo's head as he's trying to get up and play the ball with two other Queensland defenders on him. And then he still sort of leans down, and then he jumps on his back and has a second effort. And then he sort of goes down on his back again and has a third effort. That is a professional foul any day of the week and 10 in the bin. And this whole line that, well, you can't because it's Origin, what a load of rubbish. Mate, the rules are the rules. I just hate this whole idea that, you know, there's one set for Origin and one set for the NRL. So it's a different game the way it's played, but if we start having different interpretations for different forms of the game, then that's where it gets messy. And that's what leads to people saying, oh, well, it didn't happen here. It didn't happen in Origin, so why is it happening here? Like, yeah, I was completely comfortable with the way Ashley Klein officiated the game. And it's not because I'm not looking at it through a New South Wales lens. I'm just looking at it in terms of what's fair and what's not. So even when the referee sticks to the rules, he gets bagged. So why would you want to be a whistleblower, honestly?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Game one, so Queensland win it through the middle, dominating the ruck and getting away with everything there. So they win game one that way. Game two, there's a whole stack of reasons I think you could pinpoint why New South Wales won and blew it away in the end. Jake Trbojevic, a massive difference up the middle, but the combinations and selections were spot on. So what happens in game three? Where do you think game three is won or lost?
That's the conundrum, isn't it? I thought Coruscant was unbelievable. The way he started that game, not just in terms of what he was doing at a dummy half, but also defensively, he was very, very strong. It's obviously advantage New South Wales, but we saw this again in 2020. It just depends on how much Queensland can bounce back from what happened in Perth. Matt, the way this series has gone, it is a true Origin series. Unlike last year, it was a little bit funky because all the games were in Queensland and New South Wales blew them off the park so easily in those first two games. It didn't feel like Origin. This certainly feels like Origin, a state of Origin, played by Origin players with Origin moments.
And Origin coaches.
And Origin coaches.
Yeah, everything's on the line going to game three. Just before we get to the news, now on the other side of the news, I want to talk to you about a whole range of issues, including Nick Kyrgios, because we quite often discuss him at length and we've got plenty to talk to him. But what used to happen in the dressing room used to stay in the dressing room, Webby. Doesn't these days. Cameras are everywhere and Victor Radley's going to be in a bit of trouble.
I don't think he is. I think he's going to get a stern talking to from Andrew Abdo. Go, do not do those hand gestures to Joseph Suwali when there's cameras in there. I'm assured by all concerned that he didn't know that the cameras are on him. That he didn't know. He should have known there's cameras in there. You know, it's a half out of 10 in terms of atrocity
scandal
for me. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't even rate a mention.
He's a knockabout.
Scandalometer.
It's silly. He probably should have known, but you know, if we're gonna take cameras into the sanctity of the dressing room, you know, you got to be prepared for things to be seen.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. And you're right. You know, as if the players are sitting there constantly thinking about the cameras being in the corner, they're thinking about the environment that they're in, the people that they're around.
My highlight of the whole inside the dressing room after the game incident was where they were talking about, you know, the elitism of the New South Wales players, and there's Jake Trbojevic shotgunning a beer right in the middle of the player circle. Now, that is an elite player.
Yeah.
With Matt Burton in the corner, with Matt Burton in the corner vomiting his froth from the beer that he tried to chug. How good.
And you reckon they were looking for KFC the next morning. Yeah. Righto, time for the news. Plenty to chat about on the other side.